Good to see you tonight. We're very thankful that you're here and we are able to spend some quiet time in worship to God and now to turn our attention to His Word. I appreciate God, the reading, Brother Sam, from Hebrews 10, and we will come back to that passage later in the course of our study. If you're here tonight visiting, we appreciate that you're here. We welcome you, and for each of us to give our attention now to the will of God in our lives is our interest and intent, as we've titled our lesson, Never Forget. You know, we just recently had 9/11, and one of the profound commitments and the simple commitment that we make on that day is to never forget, to remember the sacrifices that were made that day for strangers. And it's a solemn and serious and sobering and somber occasion. Of course, we are involved in memories of our Lord every week when we eat the Lord's Supper. And throughout our lives, memory serves a tremendous place in our lives. Memory is something God has given us as a great blessing. On the one hand, it's something that helps us improve ourselves. If we will remember things of the past, failings of the past, sins of the past, if we'll repent, if we'll turn back to God, then it becomes an effective tool. Deuteronomy 30, we have on the chart, is just an illustration. After God had punished and would punish Israel for their sins, He tells them ahead of time, if you turn away from Me, I'm going to send you into captivity. And now in Deuteronomy 30, He says, but when you're there, when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I've set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice. As today, as I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart, with all your soul, then the Lord will bring you back from captivity and set you in the land and show His compassion upon you. So he tells them before it happens, that when it does happen, remember that I told you this would happen, this curse would come, but there's blessings if you'll return to Me. If you'll turn your hearts and souls back to Me, if you'll be obedient to Me. Later, Jesus would tell the church in Ephesus, repent and remember from whence you were fallen, repent and do the first works. So memory helps us improve ourselves spiritually. It enables us as a tool to bring God's blessings into our lives, God's forgiveness. We can learn, we can grow, we can avoid past sins, we can duplicate past successes. But the middle part of the chart says, but we need to be warned because, you know, Satan will tempt a warping of our memories. He'll try to warp what we remember try to embed bitterness in our memories. Try to embed resentment maybe, or anger or hatred even, into our memories. So memory's a blessing, but we can be tempted to misuse those memories, to not remember accurately, or maybe right more, not remember at all sometimes, right? We've been poking each other about memory today, so you know it's a wonderful blessing, but memories, you know, we know the tale. Memories fade with time. Memories get set, sometimes not always accurately. And the thing is, if we set a memory that's not accurate, and then we act upon that inaccurate memory, then we're headed in the wrong direction towards some person, something, some action. So diligence toward our memories is an important thing to guard against. Allowing or using memories in a sinful way, right? Ephesians 4th chapter warns us about that. He says, let all bitterness, anger, malice, all those things be put away from you. Now, if you just reflect upon those things, like bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, memories involved in those things. It could be at the moment, but it also could be things that linger from the past. And so, memory
is an effective tool if we'll use it properly.
And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is using it properly, remembering some things that we ought to be remembering to help center our faith, focus our faith, and our service to God day by day. Some things that the gospel reveals to us that we must never forget. Some simple things. It's just going to let the Word of God use these expressions to us to remind us. In 2 Peter 1, in verse 9, we're taught to never forget our cleansing from our past sins. That if we do, then spiritual tragedy lies ahead. 2 Peter 1, in verse 9, we're picking it up in a context where he is urging us to continue to give all diligence to our spiritual growth and to be even more diligent to secure our call and election, to be doing these things so that we don't stumble. In the course of that, he said, "For he who lacks these things," that is, lacks the faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So we need to always remember our cleansing from our sins, because if we forget our cleansing, then we position ourselves in a place where we become short-sighted, we become spiritually blind. Rather than grow and mature spiritually, we begin to weaken unto the stumbling and loss of our soul. You see, verse 10, he goes on to say, secure your faith. If these things are yours and abound, he says, you make your call and election sure by giving more diligence. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. So, memory, remembering our cleansing, remembering what all that's about. Let's remember, for example, the price of our redemption, that it is Jesus Christ who died for us. Someone just recently told me that that someone told a person, you know, Jesus Christ died for you. And the person said, well, he got emotional. He said, well, nobody's ever told me that before. Now, we take it for granted. But we shouldn't take it for granted either. We need to remember that our cleansing from our sins took the life of the Son of God. If we forget that, doesn't that kind of say I've forgotten to be thankful? If I forget that, I've become short-sighted.
Ephesians 1, 7 says, in whom we have redemption.
In the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, we have that redemption through His blood. That is, through His death, through the life that was given. That's what we need to remember, that the Son of God died for us. It was an act of sacrifice on the Son's part, an act of love on God's part. These are familiar passages, but things we got to keep remembering, that we don't forget. Romans 5, 6 through 8. When we were still without strength, that is, we were helpless. We had no strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I need to remember I was ungodly and helpless. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. We never forget 9/11, we're told. We don't want to forget it because people died for other people that day. But now, we're talking about something even grander than that. Far grander than that. The Son of God, sinless, God, took upon Himself flesh and He died for us, the ungodly. We didn't deserve it. We didn't merit it. We didn't warrant it. We were His enemies. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died in the prospect that we would be brought to a point of faith in Him and love Him enough to sacrifice ourselves to Him.
Don't forget the cleansing from our sins. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, John wrote, and gave His Son as a propitiation, as an atonement for our sins. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, by not forgetting the cleansing of our own sins, then we remember to love one another as God has loved us. We remember that we are new creatures in Christ. We have a new life. The past that we remember of sin is not held against us. It's been forgiven. It's been released before God. All things are new. That is, our sin has been forgiven in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And so, when we don't forget our cleansing, when we remember our cleansing, we resolve not to return to living in sin. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
If we forget our cleansing, we've forgotten
that we ought not be living in sin. That we were once there, and it caused us to be separated from God. Spiritual death. And so now, remembering our cleansing, we remember to not let sin reign in our bodies to fulfill its lust, verse 12, but instead to give ourselves to the service of God. Instruments of righteousness.
Rather than instruments of sin, our members, our bodies, to serve what's right in God's sight.
By remembering our cleansing, we are reminding ourselves to grow, to mature. Go back to our text. That was the point Peter is discussing. I mean, Peter began there by saying that we have become partakers of the divine nature. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, verse 4. And so now we're to give even more diligence to secure that call and that choice, that election, to be the elect of God. We've chosen to be followers of Jesus, and God chose us in His Son. And so now in that relationship,
grow and mature in Him. If we forget our cleansing, then we're not interested in growing.
Spiritual development is not a concern. That's why He says, don't forget. Don't forget, because in the forgetting is the stumbling, and in the stumbling is a failure to enter into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, verse 11.
Well, again, simple points, but things that God is exhorting us, don't forget. Never forget.
The price of your cleansing,
the calling of that cleansing, and the goal of that cleansing, of the eternal life with God. Well, the same text in verses 12 through 15 says we should never forget God's Word. Look how Peter puts it. For this reason, I will not be negligent. Now, he's been telling them not to be negligent. Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Now, he says, for this reason, I'll not be negligent to remind you. Here's the memory. To remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, that is in this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. It won't be much longer, Peter says, and I'll be dead. I'm going to die pretty soon. But moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease, after I die. So he says, I want to remind you. I want you to know, you know these things, but I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to keep doing it so that when I die, you're going to still remember these things. To be diligent, to grow and mature, to be faithful, to be fruitful. To, as chapter 3 goes on to say, in verses 1 and 2, to remember, to be mindful. He says, I'm stirring you up now. Again, I write the second epistle to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Don't forget this word. Don't forget what I'm saying. Don't forget what I'm writing to you. These are the words of God, not just the words of Peter, that you may be mindful of the words, verse 2, which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus, the Lord and Savior. So, when he says, I want you to remember what I'm saying, he's really saying, I want you to remember what the Lord's saying. Don't forget the Word of God. Look at Jude, verse 17, very similar. As Jude writes, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember. Don't forget the words of God. You know, the world says forget the Bible. The Bible? You really think you can follow that? Live by that? Forget that, the world says.
Well,
1 Corinthians 1:18, there were people talking like that in the first century. It's not a new approach. Paul wrote, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God."
We're being saved. We've been cleansed from our past sins. The power of God is wrapped up in the message of the cross. The power to save the lost, to secure the saved. The world says forget it, but we can never forget it because truth frees us. The truth will make you free, Jesus said, as you abide in it, His Word. But ignorance darkens the heart and darkens the life.
Look at the darkness of ignorance to the Word of God in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we see it playing out in us, in our society, all around us, in the world. The darkness of the ignorance of truth. Paul said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Those who believe themselves so enlightened, so full of knowledge and understanding, really is futile. Why? Because it's not the truth of God. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus.
Don't forget the truth. Remember the truth. When we forget the truth, we turn back to darkness, to futility, to alienation from God, separation, enemies of God. And in that ignorance, lose our souls. It's a simple concept, and yet it is to penetrate our decision making, our conduct.
Don't forget the Word of God. Look what happens when we remember God's Word. Just three illustrations from Psalm 119, a psalm that really is packed. It's so rich with the blessings and privileges and benefits of God's Word in our lives. When we remember God's Word, it helps protect us from sin. Psalm 119:11. Actually, verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." The young man, the young person, can have protection and cleansing and guidance by taking heed to God's word. Not the word of the young companions who are of the world. Not going the road with them. Verse 11, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's what God's Word does when we remember it. It protects us from sin. Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your Word." I will not forget your Word. Because there's protection from sin and a remedy to sin. A cleansing from sin
found in God's Word of truth. God's Word assures us
when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Psalm 119, 86 through 88, and really this entire section from 81 to 88. The psalmist's soul faints within him for God's salvation. He puts his hope and trust in God's Word, and though it seems as if he is brittle and his enemies are attacking him, the proud have dug pits for me. They're lying in wait. They're trying to capture me. Yet he says, it's not according to your law, verse 85. And 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on the earth. They almost killed me. But I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Well, we're not going to be able to keep the testimonies that come from the mouth of God if we don't remember them. How can we be revived by them, strengthened and secured by them in the face of the devil and his servants, the enemies of faith, if we don't remember His Word? But when we do, there's protection there. There's security. There's trust that is maintained there because we understand God is the source of the life and the salvation. Go a little bit farther, 92 through 95 of that same text. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I'll never forget your precepts. Say, I'll remember. For by them you've given me life. We wouldn't have life without the truth of God. We'd be dead in our sins. The cleansing from our sins, we learn about from God's Word. Well, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. Again, I'll not forget, I'll remember, I'll consider, I'll meditate upon, I'll use your Word because in it is life and salvation. Never forget our cleansing from past sins and never forget God's Word. Third thing not to forget is to do good and share with others. A simple concept, one that the Word of God says, don't forget. Don't forget. Hebrews 13 and verse 16 says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. These are offerings that we as the priests before God bring to Him in service to Him and honor to Him is that we remember to do good and to share. After all, we're to share the good things Christ has shared with us. Christ has shared redemption with us. He shares mercy to us and with us. Look at Hebrews 2 and 17. It says, in all things He, Christ, has been made like His brethren, like us, that He might be a merciful and faithful High Priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, to make atonement for the sins of the people. Now, the verse alludes to the mercy that we have through Jesus. He's faithful and trustworthy as a High Priest to serve on our behalf, to bring access to God to us. He shares that mercy with us. Well, in turn, we're to show mercy, aren't we? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We become sharers of good and doing good because we're the recipients of good from the very hand of God. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says then, do not grow weary in well-doing. In fact, verse 10, I'm sorry, goes on to say, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. So we're to look for our opportunities. We have opportunities set before us. Tanner drew our attention Wednesday night to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, that according to each servant's ability, the master gave allotted talents, possessions, money, and blessed those who made more for him. And so with the ability comes an opportunity for which we're responsible. We have a responsibility and we're going to be accountable. There's a reckoning day, a judgment day. So God has shared good things with us in Christ. He sustains us in many good ways as we live day by day. Now as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of God's household, the household of faith. To the lost, that means sharing the gospel. Christians, when they were persecuted, they went about preaching the word, sharing the good news, and souls were being saved. Sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. We can do that, doing good. benevolence, helping those in need. As to all, he said, as we have opportunity, individually, he says, do good to all.
Church has some responsibilities. The early church was continuing in fellowship. They were continuing in sharing. And so when brethren were in need, brethren in other places sent to those needs. Church in Antioch sent to relieve needy Christians in Judea when there was a famine in the land. Acts 11, just as an illustration. Share. Don't forget to do good. We have a lot of opportunities to do good to people in need. Some are Christians, some aren't. The church has opportunities to do good to brethren who are in need. Let's don't forget to do good and to share as God has shared with us. Don't forget to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's my paraphrase. It's Hebrews 13 and verse 2. The verse says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. The love of strangers, hospitality, that is to care and give kindness toward those that we don't know, with no thought of return, but to simply be hospitable, to share good things with others. As you would the men do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7 and verse 12. The kindness, the goodness, don't forget the simple thing, because he says it's an offering to God.
See, when we do good and we share, these are offerings that please God.
And so you see, while we serve others, we're serving Jesus. Isn't that what he said in Matthew 25 in the judgment scene? Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So to share and do good is an offering brought before God that he will receive. Don't forget. Don't forget the former days and faithful ones who've gone before. Let's think about that for a minute. Don't forget that, you know, in a very real way, we have entered into the labor that others have done spiritually. In John 4 and 38, Jesus says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Well, what does he mean? Well, I think he means what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 3. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gives the increase. We all enter, when it comes to helping someone spiritually and being helped ourselves, we need to not forget. We've been helped by others. We've been brought to this moment in our spiritual life. Don't forget that. And don't forget what it took to bring us to where we are right now. And don't forget to then endure in our work. You know, the work that others have done ahead of us make it easier for us to endure. And we're the benefactors. We have received the benefit of their faithfulness. The Christians of the first century. Don't forget those former days of faith. We share their faith. Let's don't forget them, that we are connected by faith through the centuries. Look at Hebrews 10, when the writer, and this is our reading earlier, he said, recall the former days. That is, don't forget, remember. Remember the former days in which, after you were illuminated, that is, after they had obeyed the gospel, after they had been enlightened by the gospel and saved in Christ, you endured a great struggle with suffering. Don't forget what happened in your faith in the past. Now, he said you endured that for two reasons, in two ways, I should say. Verse 33, partly you were made a spectacle by reproaches and tribulations. He said, because you obeyed the gospel, you were enlightened by the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you became a disciple of His, others reproached you. Others rejected you. You were a spectacle to them. But also, partly, while you became companions of those who were so treated. In other words, you weren't ashamed of others. You were companions with those who faced the same trial.
Don't forget. The struggle and the reward and the benefit of the commitment of your faith and your obedience to the gospel and those who helped you and those that you that stood with you in following God and still do. He said, "For you had compassion on me." Now here's something that he said, "I want you to recall the former days, but also that you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence that has great reward." If we don't recall the former days, aren't we positioning ourselves to cast away our confidence? He says, remember the former days to be renewed and strengthened in confident faith to endure, verse 36. That's his next point. You have need of endurance. Okay, how am I going to endure? Well, recall the former days
and keep on. Keep on being faithful.
The just live by faith.
It's faith that brings life. And we are not of those who have faith, who shrink back.
We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Well, if we'll remember the former days and the faithful ones, then we're better positioned not to shrink back.
Because we're aligned with them. We join it with them
in serving the Lord together.
Hebrews 13:3, you go back to there, just as another point on this. He said, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also.
Don't forget the faithful ones.
Now or in the past, who are mistreated for their faith, who are persecuted for their faith.
Be companions with them. Be praying for them. Be doing what we can to share with them in our faithfulness. You know, it's hard to pray for those who are struggling, those who are being persecuted, and then just walk away and fall in, and not be enduring ourselves. They become an example for us. And so, don't forget, but remember your former conversion and the days of that faithfulness. Don't shrink back. Remember the faithful ones who endure and join them in that endurance. Finally, in 2 Peter 3, he said, don't forget God's power and promises.
Do not forget the power of God and the promises of God. 2 Peter 3 and 5, he says, concerning the mockers, this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which word that which existed perished, being flooded with water.
The power of God is forgotten by the mockers. They forget the past judgments of God. They forget the creation of God and how His judgment
was brought upon that creation. The flood. They willfully forget. We must never forget
the power that created us and the power that judges sin.
They'll go on in that text by saying, but the heavens and the earth that are now preserved by the same word, the word that created the world and the word that destroyed the old earth with water, the heavens and earth that now exist are preserved by that same word. God's word is preserving this world right now. And reserved, that's reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But you, beloved, do not forget this one thing. Lord, to the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. So two things not to forget here. Don't forget the power of God's Word.
And don't forget the promises of God. Whether it takes a day or 1,000 years, when God speaks, when God promises, God makes good on it.
Now, because these mockers forgot the power of God, they didn't prepare for the future. So when the flood came, it washed them all away.
Killed them all in judgment. We need to remember Lot's wife. Remember? God had given a word to Lot
He said, get out of the city. Judgment's coming. Right? Leave the city and don't look back. And of course, we know what happened. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, Jesus used that in Luke, the 11th or 17th chapter, as he was warning the people there in Jerusalem and Judea of the time when he, the Son of Man, would bring judgment upon the city in the form of the Roman army. And he said, when you see these signs, if you're on the housetop, don't go into your house to get your clothes. You flee to the mountains. Remember Lot's wife. In other words, the haste of doing what God says. God keeps His word, and He demands that we do too. Lot's wife didn't keep God's word, but he kept his. He brought the judgment, and she did what God said not to do. And judgment came upon her. And so, those who would escape that judgment of Jerusalem would be those who would remember Lot's wife, God's power and God's promise, trust God's word, and when those signs appear, flee, get out of the city, and their lives would be delivered as they were. See, in 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9 now, don't forget that God is not contained by time. God's not restrained or constrained by time. Day, 1,000 years, means nothing to Him. He's eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. But remembering that urges us that the time that He has given us now is incentive to repent. Because God has said a day of judgment's coming, and He goes on to discuss that, when everything's going to be burned, melt away with fervent heat. Just like the old world was washed away by water. He's going to destroy this world and it's going to be no more. So, remember or forget. We must never forget God's power, the promises of God's Word. The goodness of God leads us to repent, Romans 2:4. As we remember, He's true to His Word and He wants to save us. And He has provided redemption in His Son. If we'll never forget the cleansing we've received, and never forget the word of truth that comes from Jesus, from His apostles and prophets, if we'll always remember to do good and share with others, as God's Son has done good for us and shared every spiritual blessing with us, to remember the former days and to endure. Remember those who struggle and are faithful, to help us remain true to Him as well. And not forget the power and the promises of God. These are the things that will secure our call and our election. You see, God will not forget your work and love. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. God won't forget you. You live in doing His will. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward His name, in that you have served, you ministered to the saints, and do minister. God will remember your faithfulness. But He will forget something. He'll forget your sins when you come to Him for forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Your sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Hebrews 10:17. God remembers and God forgets. He'll no longer hold our sin against us. So we remember that cleansing as Christians, and we commit ourselves to remain diligent in faith so that we never forget. You see, Hebrews 6:11 and 12 goes on to say, we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. God's not going to forget because He's not unjust. Now, you be diligent. You show that diligence with full assurance to the end, that you don't become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, so that you can remember Him in the days of your old age,
until the days are no more, and we go to be with the Lord.
never forget. If you're not a Christian, we urge you to become one tonight. By faith, to repent of sin, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, washed in His blood for the remission of your past sins. You can live with Him, trusting in and not forgetting His power and His promises of life eternal. If you're a Christian, if there's sin in your life, then return to the Lord. Remember from where you fall and repent. Do the first works. He'll hear that prayer of confession, that repentant heart, and He'll forgive. We want to help you do that. Won't you come while we stand and we sing?